Thank you for joining us. You made it back to the Drum Technique. This is our fourth episode. Today we are sponsored by Tricosta MMA. That is TRICOASTA. Tricosta is a wonderful clothing company that provides sponsorships and good contribution to the mixed martial art community, as well as the martial art community in general. They have awesome shirts, awesome products, good bags, you know, a bunch of different things that you could pick up if you are a martial arts fan. I know they've made all the best tees in the martial arts community. They had the Lawler Mania shirt, the Korean Zombie shirt. I'm sure our guest today has quite a few of them, as he's a big fan himself. But if you are looking for MMA apparel that doesn't make you look like a douchebag and it won't have a bunch of skulls and crosses and barbed wire tattoos on it, I would go to Tricosta MMA, TRICOASTA, and pick some stuff up. We will be right back with comedian Adam Hunter.
Drum Technique.
You ready?
Drum Technique. Drum Technique.
Yes, we are back. It's the Drum Technique, episode 4, with Adam Hunter. Adam, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, man, it's great. Adam, for those who don't know this man, he's a comedian. He was a high school standout wrestler in the New England area. I've seen YouTube footage of it. He also he plays a big part in the MMA community. He does the MMA text after fights where, a bunch of fighters are mixed matching, like they're texting each other crazy shit. He does the MMA Roasted podcast. What else do you do? You got a whole bunch of jobs, right?
Yeah, I do the MMA Roasted podcast on Fox Sports, which actually we're going to Sideshow Network starting next week, doing twice a week on Sideshow Network. I also wrote a lot of the parodies that all about the cake with Daniel Cormier that got 40 million hits.
As it should.
And then also I wrote the Filipino Wrecking Ball with Mark Munoz. I helped write the What Would the Van Say? You know, I've written for the MMA Awards the last 5 years. Me and Joey Varner did Dear Vandy, the Dear Vandy sketch, the Pawn Stars sketch with Randy Couture divorce attorney sketch.
The divorce attorney one was awesome.
Thank you. We did the MMA Storage Wars. Me, Triple E, and Joey wrote that one with Phil Davis and Dominic Cruz. So I've written a lot of those sketches. And then, the podcast. And then I do those MMA Roasted videos before all the big events. So I've done about, I don't know, got to be 50 of them. And lately we've had a lot of guest stars. People have been coming on the show. Like we had Art Jimerson and Don Fry.
Alan on that one.
Yeah, Alan comes on all the time. I had Luke Barnett on, Jake Ellenberger, Shayna Baszler, Jessica Penny. Vince Michelle, Ellis came on and called out CM Punk. We have Frank Trigg on the next one. I love having the fighters on. You know, it's a lot of fun.
That would actually be a good fight.
Which
Ellis
one?
And Punk. That'd be great for his first fight.
Yeah, I also had Trigg call out Punk. Frank Trigg said he wants to fight Punk as well.
No, that's not fair. That's too much. I don't know.
Trigg's too good, you think?
I think so. It's a little bit. I mean, to be honest, I think I should probably speak a little bit lighter about him because I haven't seen him train yet. But, oh, man, coming in your first fight, it's not – I don't need, none of these names that we're saying are any good. I mean, Ellis might be okay.
Yeah.
But just because he's a little bit older now and whatnot. But, god damn, dude.
Well, yeah, it's like saying, like, putting a guy with zero high school or college basketball experience and having them be in the NBA.
It really is.
And saying, oh, well, you know, he's good at street ball. Yeah, but how's he going to do against LeBron James? I mean, let's be honest.
It's crazy because, like, you know, you hear, you know, so much people talk shit about Bellator. You know, that's like the main thing. They're always like, oh, this freak show fight with Kimbo and, you know, Ken Shamrock. But at least those dudes have been scrapping for, like, a while.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if they're in a backyard, like, that's a real fight, you know?
Oh, absolutely. But that fight, I think, was fixed.
You think so?
Yeah.
100%? That was a good gash on his head.
Yeah. After watching it like 3 or 4 times, the first time I go, no, this is a legit fight. And then when I watched it, they were like going ear to ear, like as if it was like professional wrestling, but no punches were being thrown, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was just sort of like It was very
like the old school wrestling lockups.
Yeah, it was an old school wrestling lockup.
Dude, I only saw it once, like briefly, and I was highly distracted. Okay. So I'll have to probably go back and watch it again.
And then go back and watch Kimbo's defense of Ken Shamrock's rear naked choke, because there is none. He said he fell asleep 3 times but then woke up. What were they, power naps?
I did see that, but it looked like Ken, Ken wasn't locked up, and he was like, he had his head on his forehead, kind of, what I mean? You see it? So it looked like it's a one-arm choke.
We're talking about a guy who's like the world's most dangerous man, grappling his entire life. I mean, come on. How does he mess up a rear naked choke?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. It was a one-arm thing, but I don't know, man. I saw Ken at some local show here in Los Angeles, like not even that long before that fight was announced. And he was selling like a Shamrock shake, like a protein shake product that he was making and whatnot. And so when I looked him up, I was like, dude, this guy's not ready to fight. But then he took out his a bare knuckle boxing fight or something that got announced. And then next thing you know, he's going to fight Kimbo and Bellator. Yeah. So I was like, dude, but I don't know. Like the word was that he was like training,
He looked great.
Yeah.
He looked great. But even that first takedown, it was like, come on. Like Kimbo, he's going to try to get it to the ground. And that's how you defend a single leg? I mean, it was a knee tap. It's like he just picked his leg up and he fell down. I've seen grandmothers defend themselves better than that. That was insane.
Yeah, that's true. Because Kimbo, I guess, has had a little bit more. I mean, like Ray Mercer went down fairly easy when he fought Kimbo. But I mean, I don't think he had any intention that they were actually going to wrestle. I think they had a gentleman agreement. Hey, you stand up in the backyard.
But he didn't go down like that. I think Ray Mercer got caught in just a rear naked choke from standing, and Kimbo just
it was like a guillotine.
Him.
No, it was
it was a guillotine. Right. Guillotine from standing. Right. What am I talking about? Renegade from standing. Guillotine from standing, and he sort of just did that. Like that's how he went. It wasn't like he just fell down.
No, I think he ripped his legs down. Like he had him. Yeah, because Mercer with his old man strength still kind of benched him up, pretty good. But Kimbo got a hold of him.
That was silly. I mean, it was just bad for MMA. I heard the New York thing didn't get passed today, which is terrible.
It didn't?
That's what I heard. I heard it's word is on the street, rumor has it that it's not going to get passed, which is insane. I mean, come on. You tell me
it's been a while,
New York City, where everything is legal pretty much. I mean, it's the most, I'm from New York. But MMA is not legal? I mean, come on.
Yeah, dude. It's been a long time coming. I really thought this was it. I thought this was a tipping point, especially with the bombarding of emails and texts and calls that, the UFC was launching at him yesterday.
So people are more progressive in Alabama than New York? I mean, that's... is that what we're saying here?
On some things.
Come on.
If getting in your underwear and fighting in a cage, they are. 100%.
It's insane. It's ridiculous.
But you are doing other things besides just being a comedian, I know. I saw online the other day that you're writing a movie.
Yes.
And it's called Pinned, I believe. And it's this is a good thing, is bringing some awareness to high school wrestling, to wrestling in general, which, which almost got pulled from the 2000
Olympics.
20 Olympics, man. They got it back though. So yeah. So can you tell me about that a little bit?
Sure. I wrote a movie. It's the first ever kind of slapstick wrestling comedy. There's never really been a comedy about a wrestling team and a coach. And it's that classic, 80s, 90s movie where I'll briefly say this guy was supposed to be the best wrestler in the world. Not in the world. In high school, he was the state champion. Everything was going to go great. He had the girlfriend. He was the king. And then, of course, his teammate, he takes his teammate's spot. So his teammate gives him food poisoning. And then right before the big state tournament, the teammate goes on and wins the whole thing. And now it's 20 years later, the guy's a complete loser. Nothing went well. And he inherits this team of misfits. Of course, the best team in the league is coached by the guy that gave him food poisoning. And that's where it sort of starts. And it's a real fun movie. It's got lots of twists and turns. It's not going to be predictable. It's all kinds of thing. And I do coach a wrestling team for little kids. I coach a middle school team for the last 10 years. I've been coaching out in Paul Revere Middle School. And I started a high school program for the kids over at Pally. Help start it. So many times I come home from practice and I tell my friends what happened. They're like, that should be in a movie. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Holy shit, wow. You got to write that down. So, and I've been doing jokes about it in my act. But I said, I'm just going to write this movie. So I went out and wrote it. It took me a couple of years to write. And the script was just sitting there. And I'm like, okay, I'll wait till I get famous and then I could be in this movie. And then, you can wait your whole life. And then I started reading, 70% of the movies in Sundance were self-financed, or, you know, Spike Lee's doing a Kickstarter campaign, and this one's doing a Kickstarter, and this one's doing it. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. I'm just going to do my own thing, not have to worry about anyone else. So far we've raised almost $13,000. I probably need about 150 to 200 to just make it bare bones.
Right, yeah.
But we're getting there. I haven't gone to investors yet and all that stuff. I'm trying to do it on myself, and it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
That's rough. Yeah, that's really rough.
However, you know, I think a guy's coming in with 5,000 soon, so we should be up to 17,000. I got a bunch of MMA. There's a lot of parts for MMA guys, because there's a whole MMA component. I'm going to have those guys in it. And it's a really fun. It's going to bring a lot to wrestling. It's going to be funny. The interactions with me and the kids are hilarious. And I'm really excited about it. You know, it's a lot of stress and stuff, but I have big news that's coming up. I can't talk about it now, but I got possibly like two TV shows coming out
soon. All right.
So, you know, like that should help everything.
It's good. It sounded like a Kingpin / Mighty Ducks.
Kingpin, Mighty Ducks, Bad News Bears. And I hopefully want to do for wrestling what Mighty Ducks did for hockey. You know, and there's all kinds of, the kids are hilarious in it. I got to school, my old high school, I went to the Hyde School, so we could shoot it there. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. I know it will be.
I haven't gone
the investor route yet, because I don't want to give up all the control. You know, that's the problem when you start going to like investors, they go, okay, well, great, but I want X, I want Y, I want Z. And the guy puts up the money, that's sort of his call. So I'm seeing how much I can raise on my own. If you go to AdamHunter.com, you can see the Indiegogo campaign. You can donate. Everything helps. I mean, I have almost 53,000 followers on Twitter on MMA Roasted. If everyone put in $10, we can make the movie.
We got it. Yeah, absolutely.
But some people put in $100. I've had guys put in $500. I've had guys put in $750. I had a girl put in $1,250. I mean, you know, that's a lot of money. So I've had a lot of people give them $10. Everything helps.
It's amazing. If I would have known about it sooner, I definitely have my guys on board, and I will for the rest of the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, we'll give Chris Beal a pardon.
have him get pinned.
Yes,
it'd be perfect.
Absolutely,
to solidify his high school career.
And there's also female wrestlers involved, so it's not just for guys. I know, like Ashley Evan Smith and Carla Esparza, and there's a whole the female chick on the female girl on the team. She kicks ass. So,
Dude, I love the Mighty Ducks. I mean, that had like such a big influence on me. Like I taught at a boxing like camp, you know, out in the East, and half of the lines I used were actually from the opposing coach or the Mighty Ducks. Like I had like win the game, like branded on these guys, like over the door and stuff. You know what I mean?
That's great.
It's not worth winning if you can't win big, all that stuff. I don't know nice. Why. I love that guy. He was the best coach ever. But that's cool, man. So other than that, I mean, you know, wrestling is like one of the only sports that you see like people continually give back. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't surprise me that you're coaching a high school team. You know, like my guy, Joseph Henley's and all that, they're always coaching. Mark Munoz, constantly, even at the top levels.
I have kids that literally yesterday, a parent said, hey, my kid's at wrestling camp. This kid, Luke, who won one match, lost 14 in sixth grade year. Eighth grade, not one kid made it to the second period. I mean, he just pinned everybody.
Wow.
He's a beast. And he's in Mark Munoz's camp right now. And he's like, hey, Mark Munoz is my counselor. He told me you gave him the nickname the Filipino Wrecking Ball. I was like, oh, that's cool. So I have three kids that I coach going to Munoz's camp. I think wrestling is such a sport where, you know, it just takes so much out of you. It takes everything you have. I mean, I remember going to practices and the walls were fogged up, just steam. I mean, I remember kids crying. I mean, everything they had. And you learn so much about yourself, what you're made of, to never give up. You know, I mean, there were times out there, I remember going out there and like, okay, this kid's bigger, stronger, faster than me. Like, I got to figure out a way to beat him. And you just pick that one move that he can't defend. He's that low single. I can get that low single on him every time. All right, take him down, let him up. Take him down, let him up. You know, win that way. And there are times, even now, stand-up comedy, I'm up on stage, I'm like, okay, they're not laughing at the political jokes. They're not laughing at the sex jokes. They're not laughing at the crowd work. I got an hour. I have to make them laugh. Otherwise, I don't do my job. Like, okay, just find that one thing that gets the crowd going. So it's so much translation of just like being out there by yourself. And it's fun. It's fun also because, you know, Hollywood is so like, oh, did you get headshots? Did you take this workshop? Did you go to acting class? Are you, you know, how's your smile? I mean, literally, I'm in acting class last week, and they're talking about crying when you cry on camera, how to be attractive when you cry. I mean, so, like, the kids in acting class are looking in the mirror, pretending to cry.
Are you guys just watching, like, Best of the Best, just watching Eric Roberts cry over and over and just mimicking it?
I mean, it's so self-indulgent of like, you have to know your good side and your bad side. If I lived like that, I'd go crazy. I'd be like, what am I doing? The fact that I could just get out of that, go to a dirty wrestling mat, and I mean clean, because you want the kids getting ringworm, but going to this thing and just be like, all right, I got 15 kids on my team. Some of them know my comedy, because I'd be like, 10 push-ups. They'll be like an Asian guy in porn. They'll do my jokes back to me. I'm like, you know, but for the most part, it's just I get away from all this Hollywood nonsense and just get to just teach kids, which is fun.
Yeah, dude, it can be being in L.A. for quite a while myself, man. It can be a sticky little, it's such a fake situation half the time. I can't stand it myself. It's really cool because, you know, a lot of people that went through wrestling, like the few celebrities and people who have gone through wrestling, you can see like the impact it's had in their life. I remember when the Olympics thing was going down, Bill Maher like had this like really inspirational like talk on it. I don't know if it was like from his podcast or what it was, or you know what I mean? It was crazy. You know?
You mean Jay Moore?
No, I'm sorry. God, why did I just say Bill Maher?
I was like,
jeez. I just said Bill Maher.
Yeah, I was like, Bill Maher wrestling?
Yeah, no, Jay Moore. Sorry. Yeah. Dude. Yeah, absolutely. And that was crazy to me because I didn't even know he wrestled before.
No, he did, actually. I had a friend that actually beat Chris Beal in high school. My friend, my friend passed away. He was the high school coach that we chose to coach the kids at Pally. Got brain cancer, 28 years old, brain cancer. Like my friend Randy Aguirre. And we were having all these fundraisers for him. You know, it was like such a sudden thing. And Jay Moore was a guy I contacted, and he was like, anything you need, I'll be there. We got to help Randy. You know, like, he was a guy, no questions asked. Roddy Piper, another guy. Like,
really?
Like, I mean, I was trying to get him to a comedy show. He's like, I can't do it, but let me know if I can Skype in. Like, he didn't even know the person, you know? I feel like there is this, like, fraternity, sorority of wrestlers. I know I went to Binghamton, and they were going to cut some of the program, and Billy Baldwin wrestled. Binghamton, he was super in it. Mark Ruffalo, I was in a movie with Mark Ruffalo. I didn't have any lines, but I was like his sidekick. I was like his featured friend. And he found out that I wrestled, and he was like, oh, man, you wrestled? It was like no surprise that he did Foxcatcher. He was a big-time like wrestler. I just think it has such an impact on you, and it's so different. I mean, I love coaching because I get these kids, you know, in sixth grade, seventh, eighth grade, and it's a charter school. So you got a lot of inner-city kids, you know. And it's funny because, like, these kids are taught their whole life to knock it off. Like, quit fucking around. Like, quit beating up your brother. Quit tackling. So the fact that I'm, like, rewarding them for that, they can't believe it. Like, well, I get to just beat up my friends for an hour. This is, like, all they want to do is live wrestle. Like, even if, like, they want to learn moves. And then when they go, hey, coach, teach us more moves. Like, this is great. Teach them a new move. Their eyes light up because they can't believe that, like, this is like they actually want to learn. I guarantee they're not having the same attitude in math class or science class or whatever it is. But this, they're really excited that. And then the parents are funny too, because the parents, they know the kids are doing something after school. They're not really sure what, you know. But that first match, the parents are hooked for life. They're like, oh my God, this is great. I can't believe it. And a funny story, like, so I do coach these kids, and I do all the announcements before the matches. I'll be like, now wrestling 82 pounds. I do it like I'm like Bruce Buffer,
right?
And it's a gym full of like 30 parents, and the kids are kind of they're half are like psyched, half of them are like, what my coach is something wrong with him, but I'm like doing it right, and we're wrestling Harvard Westlake, which is like $40,000 a year school, middle school. I mean, you go there, it's probably nicer than most college campuses. Harvard Westlake
got a great program over there.
The wrestling program we at first we lost to them 52-0. Our first match we got destroyed. Over the years we've been beating them. You know, our program's getting better. Their program is actually trying to rebuild, but they have a nice school. I mean, their school is like super nice. And then they've actually, a couple of my kids have gotten like financial, like sort of scholarships to their high school from wrestling.
Oh, nice.
But I'm like, hey, so I'm doing the announcing. And I'm like, no, wrestling, 82 pounds. Like, Mike Leibovitz, his opponent, at 83 pounds, you know? And this guy comes up to me, and he's like, hey, you're pretty good at that. I was like, oh, thanks, man. He goes, I do that for a living, and it's Jimmy Lennon Jr. Like his son wrestles for, like, the other. I'm like, wait a minute, you're Jimmy Lennon Jr. I know you. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I thought it was just like a regular parent. I was like, holy shit, it's one of the second most famous announcer in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy, like, the influence you can have on kids, like, in a wrestling program or a boxing program, because especially if they're, like, you know, disadvantaged kids or, like you're saying, you know, they're coming from a hard place, they have, like, this respect for you because you can, like, teach them violence pretty much, but you can teach them violence in like, a, you know, a good way. You get this kind of mentorship over them because they respect, like, what you're able to do. You know what I mean?
No, they're thrilled. And, like, it's funny. Sometimes, like, I find myself, like, when they're not listening, I'm like, who here was a four-time Class A champion? Anyone? No? No? Me? I was? Okay. So you're going to listen to me? Like, I brought in my, like, my old highlight film to show the kids that I was, like, legit, you know? And
you make them watch them daily?
I made them watch it, but they started laughing at my hairstyle. They're like, ah! I'm like, all right, kids, no more. That was a cool haircut back in the day. And then one kid started rooting for the other kid. I was like, I'm like, this is me. And he's like, oh, well, I wanted to make it even. I'm like, no, you root for me on my own highlight film. I yelled at him.
Didn't you know you already had it spliced perfectly so you were going to win? You didn't figure it out, did you?
Not the brightest kid.
So what do you think about what's going on with the UFC these days, man? They had, like, a production building fire the other day. Jose Aldo's hurt. He's not hurt. I mean, what's your take on all this?
You know, I had Chris Weidman on my show the other day, and he, you know, he picked Conor McGregor. And in the second round knockout, and or TKO in the second, and I go, why, you know?
Yeah.
And because conventional wisdom is that Aldo wins. And he's like, well, you know, what was this drug test that they refused to have because they didn't know who the guy came in?
Right.
The coach is talking about retiring. Now there's this broken rib, you know, which is before the broken rib.
That was before, yeah.
I mean, you look at those three things, you're like, either they're doing this to really mess with McGregor's head, or, you know, the writing's on the wall here. You know,
Something's
up. I mean, I think that Mendez and Edgar are a much better matchup. Like, they have a much better shot at beating McGregor than Aldo does.
You think style-wise?
Style-wise.
Because they're wrestlers.
Wrestlers. He's never fought a wrestler ever. I mean, he fought... He fought, you know, what's his name? Marcus Brumage, but he just came in for a shot, got uppercut, you know?
Right.
Dennis Seaver's not a wrestler, and Dustin Poirier's not a wrestler. So, the one guy that has grappling, Joe Duffy, you know, submitted him in a minute and a half. I mean, that was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, you know, Jose Aldo, when was the last time you ever saw that guy even look bad? I mean, he's such a...
Yeah, I guess the Edgar fight was the last close fight, right?
You know? Yeah, that was pretty close.
Yeah.
He was never really in trouble that fight.
Yeah.
I guess Mendez had him in trouble, you know, the second fight, maybe, kind of, you know.
Briefly, yeah.
Briefly. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. Although, he also, you know, what's his name was saying, Weidman, who was saying, look, this guy's bigger, he's more confident, and he's just, you know, he's stronger than Aldo. He's big for the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, I like having McGregor because I think he brings a lot to the sport. A lot of people come up to me like, who's that Irish guy? Who's that Irish guy? You know?
Yeah.
They don't even like the UFC, but they know the Irish guy. And anytime you have that type of, you know, larger-than-life character, it's great for MMA. I don't like how he got to jump everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I also don't like how carefully they've matched him up.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy when, you know, Cub was, like, pretty much guaranteed the next lot. You know, he was definitely, you know, he put in his work. He made his way up. He was number one contender. And they're like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and put you with Frankie. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to give Connor a shot versus Dennis Seaver. And then after that, they're like, sorry.
Yeah.
I went your spot. And, you know, Edgar, yeah, he's fought for the title before. So we're going to go ahead and let Connor go ahead and take a shot. It was a little kind of crazy.
I mean, Nate Diaz said he's willing to come down to 55.
I saw that.
That would have been amazing. Come on. That would have been the fight. That would have been so cool to have Nate Diaz give McGregor the finger. I mean, that would have been I that would have been hilarious.
Would have been good to see if you can get under McGregor's skin a little bit.
Just the weigh-ins alone would have been worth the price of admission.
Yeah, you're right.
Having him give him the middle finger to Conor McGregor, and McGregor's giving the middle finger back. And plus, Nate Diaz, when have you ever seen him really hurt?
Yeah. But it's like the RDA fight, he was busted up, but he kept going. Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen him knocked out or really hurt?
Yeah, you're right. He can take a licking, dude.
Yeah.
What's crazy is that they're right now saying that Aldo's still going to fight. You know, that's the thing. They're like, oh, yeah, that's still going to go down. And if we need to, Chad Mendes is going to step in.
Well, because I heard that the it's sold out.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it's sold out. So let's say, that fight gets canceled.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how bad it will be for Vegas that weekend.
That's what I'm saying. You think they're just kind of dragging out the subsequent pull of Aldo?
They told Mendes to be ready.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think Irish fans would watch this guy fight a cold, you know?
Right.
I mean, they're not going to, if it's Mendes or whatever, they're in Vegas and they made their hotels and the flights, they're not going to pull out.
They're not coming over.
They want to see Conor McGregor. They want to see McGregor versus Aldo, but I think they'll watch it versus Mendes.
Yeah, they said there would be for an interim title too. So either way, they'd pass gold on to the fight. But yeah, it's definitely, I mean, there's so much buildup to this fight. There's a lot of buildup, dude.
It's funny that all these guys came out of the woodwork. Like, what's his name that he wanted the fight too? The guy that just got, who lost to Bermudez. He wanted the fight. I forgot the guy's name. Aldo beat him. Like all these guys, I started retweeting it because Mendes is like, I want the fight. Frankie Edgar is like, I'm waiting. Joe Duffy said, hey, let's do a rematch. And then the other guy, I forgot the guy's, what's his fucking name? I don't know. The guy that lost to Bermudez from Chicago, that was a wrestler, forgot his name, but he came out of the know. All these guys, like, I'll fight him. I mean, you know, they the UFC's, I mean, they're in good shape, though, because everyone, this only adds intrigue to the fight. It is definitely easy, even though the betting lines, I would think.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure. I just don't understand. I just don't see Aldo making the fight. If he's really got a rib injury, I mean, have you had one of those before?
No.
I have. They're horrible. You can't sneeze. You can't. It's your whole core is taken out.
Yeah.
There's no way you're going to kick. You can't lift your leg. You can't throw a punch. You can't twist. How are you going to clinch? How are you going to take someone down? That's your whole core is taken out of the fight. So I don't understand how. I mean, when I heard, oh, yeah, he's still going to do it, but Chad's on standby and there'll be an interim, I'm like thinking it's just going to be a few days. They're going to wait a week and then they're going to pull.
I think Brazilians have a lot of pride, a ton of pride. They're the most, and they come from nothing, these guys, you know. They hate losing.
Yeah.
Not that Americans like losing, but they hate losing. And it seems like a lot of them, like steroids, they don't look at steroids in a bad way. I think like a lot of these guys.
Or some Americans.
Some Americans, right. But you look at like Vitor Belfort and Vanderlei Silva and Anderson Silva and Bigfoot. I mean, Bigfoot maybe would have the one excuse, but those are four, you know, major guys. It's like they'd almost rather, like, I wouldn't say cheat, but take steroids and win than fear not doing it. I mean, that's four major guys right there.
Yeah,
you know, we haven't seen it with like the lighter guys. The lighter guys haven't been busted for this stuff, but you know, when it just seems like a lot of these guys are like, you know what, they don't look at it as a bad thing.
So, yeah, and it's like ultimate, you know, performance. You know,
they're like, I'm not going back to that favela. I don't care what I got to take. I'm not going back to that, and you can't really blame them. You know,
well, that's the story with most fighters, right? I mean. Oh, I guess it's a little bit different for our American scene because you get all these guys out of college wrestling. So, they, you know, they actually went to college and whatnot. It's a little bit different than boxing, you know. Boxing, no one went to college.
They have something to fall back on, you're saying, the wrestlers?
Oh, kind of. I mean, you could get a job maybe, you know. You could sell real estate. You could do something, you know.
It just sucks for a lot of these guys that, like, you know, from what I know, never took stuff. You know, like guys like Bisbing. It seemed like everyone he fought was tested positive. Even the guys he beat. You know, yeah. Kung Lee, they test positive for stuff. The guys like Frankie Edgar, the guys like Chad Mendes, the guys like Uriah Faber, the guys like, Tim Kennedy, Chris Weidman. I mean, it's hard enough to compete against guys who are naturally just monsters. To have to compete against these guys who are monsters and they have the juice, it's like, come on.
Yeah. Although when you talk about Kennedy and Weidman, dude, they're like, if those guys ever got on roids, I don't know what the hell they'd look like. They already look like freaking comic book characters, you know what I mean? Well,
not Weidman as much, but Kennedy, yeah.
Weidman, though, is so strong. Like, he's so freakishly strong. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the first guy that him and Anderson clinched up. And I was like, oh, he's in deep shit. You know, no one clinches with Anderson. Not one person clinches with Anderson. And boom, like, just drops him right off the bat. You know, I was like, that's insane.
Well, the thing about it also is that before that fight, all, like, the majority of the pros were picking Weidman.
Yeah.
And they're picking a guy who's essentially 9-0 versus the quote-unquote greatest of all time. And they're picking Weidman.
Yeah, you could feel it though. I was too.
But you could see that these fighters are usually the guys who are the most correct when it comes to fights like that. And if they're picking a guy that was essentially like an unknown. I mean, it was known in MMA circles, but that was it. These guys were like, you know what, you know, this guy's legit.
Well, yeah, so, he was grappling with Andre Galval like a year into like training. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's grappling at that level. He had super heavy hands.
Well, he was saying in college, like, he had Tom Ryan as a coach, and I went to Tom Ryan's wrestling camp. Tom Ryan's like super legit. He actually offered me a scholarship to Hofstra, a partial scholarship wrestling.
Nice.
I didn't take it, but Weidman didn't believe me on my podcast. He's like, that never fucking happened, man. And then I had to email Tom Ryan, and he's like, it happened. Just so you know, I'll show it to you. So this is like 20 years ago. I'm really becoming Al Bundy, fucking Paul Kai. It's fucking sad. But
take what you can get, dude.
But Weidman, he was like, yeah, you know, he made it to the semifinals of the NCAAs 4 years in a row, and he's like, I didn't take it seriously in college. I mean, the fact that you could be on that level, like, I knew how hard wrestling was in Division III.
Yeah.
I mean, Division I, you make it to that level of the semifinals of the NCAA tournament, and you're just fucking around.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different, special kind of athlete.
Dude, he's such a freak. It's insane. And the main thing that I think you can tell when leading into a big fight like that, of like something's going to change hands, is the confidence. Like, you hear every single fighter on the planet go, oh, you know, I'm the top of the game. I'm going to take him out. I am the one, blah, blah, blah. But you know when some guy believes it. Like, mm-hmm. That's the weird thing. And that's what I think even pros, even fans can kind of sense coming up. It was weird because even like Chael, like his first fight with Anderson, like, you know, it was all talk. But then all of a sudden at the end, you're like, I'm not sure if this guy like really starting to believe it. You know, like he's going to give it a go. But Weidman, though.
I was so pissed at that fight at the end. I was so hoping Chael would pull that off. I was like, I was so rooting for Chael. I'm like, what are you doing? You've won 4.5 rounds.
Yeah, you didn't have to do anything that last round.
Just stay away from him.
Yeah.
Just jab. Just stay away, and you don't even get into his guard. I mean, he just does not, the stubbornness that makes him great is what eventually causes his demise. He's like, I don't believe in jiu-jitsu. I'll just stay in this guy's guard, and I'll just swim. You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, eventually you're going to get caught. And now people are like, well, and the worst part about that is I have friends who were like, Anderson did that on purpose. He wanted to teach Chael a lesson. I'm like, he did not lose 4.5 rounds on purpose, dude. I have a friend that is convinced that he did that. It pisses me off. No, he didn't do that on purpose.
Yeah, you got punched in the head 400 times.
My friend Shang, I have him on he's a comedian. He's a good, great guy, but he's like, no, if you watch the documentary Like Water, I'm telling you. I'm like, of course he's going to say he did that on purpose. Yeah, of course. That's like, you know. Every fighter is so good at that, though. Like Ben Askren. You see his last fight?
Yeah, I did.
Oof, it was rough.
I don't know, though. It looked like it was turned around at the end.
At the end, he finally got the takedown.
That guy did really well, you know, for a round and a half. But then once it was on, you know, once he was on his back, he looked pretty helpless.
Well, I asked Askren about that. I'm like, and he like got taken down, thrown around, was getting tossed around. That guy, I don't think was on, I mean, you can't accuse someone of taking steroids, but if I in a lineup, if it was a steroid lineup, I would pick him. But Ben Askren, you know, the thing about that fight was, you know, I asked him about that. He's like, well, listen, I know the guy had no gas tank, and my fights are really ugly, so I was going to do whatever I could to burn the guy out. I'm like, that is the perfect thing to say after a performance like that. Like
after getting shucked around,
fighters are so good at. at telling you, like, you know, why something went right or why something went wrong. They're brilliant at that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Askren kind of does do the same thing every fight, though, man. He is like a, you know, he gets in your, he's almost like a better Chael. You know, I want to say that because, you know, Askren, he's more active. You know what I mean? Like, when he's on the ground, like, he's not just pinning you. Like,
well, he's a better wrestler.
That's what I'm saying.
He's an Olympian wrestler. Chael never made the Olympics. You know, 2-time national champion. Chael made it to the he's an All-American, but never a national champion.
But his style is different, too. Like, you know, Askren works with, like, in transition. You know what I mean? It's like he's constantly, like, moving. He's not just, like, you know, just holding you on the ground, just not letting you get up. Like, it's just, like, movement after movement after movement. And every movement that you take, you're, like, a step behind him. It's like...
He is. I mean, the thing about Askren that I love about him is he's so unconventional. You know, he does things that aren't supposed to work. I mean, he's throwing, like, reverse cradles in national championships. I mean, he's just that guy that you're like, you can't believe this is actually working. And he has the funk. Like, he has stuff. You're absolutely right. It's hard to train for a guy like that because it's hard to get a guy to emulate what he's going to do.
Yeah, no one's going to do
Chael,
that.
Chael didn't have that, like, I guess you can call it like that jazz MMA where you just kind of flow with the punch. And everybody that trains with Askren, that I know from training with him over at Rufus Sport or guys that wrestled with him in college, Tyron Woodley, the other guy, Mike Chandler, they're like, Askren would be the UFC champion.
Yeah, they really believe it.
They believe it because he's proven time and time again that his methods work. He's a weird guy. He doesn't use deodorant. He doesn't wear it. Honestly, he doesn't wear it. He never wears it. He's like, I don't smell. He doesn't smell. I smelled him. He's just a weird guy. He runs his wrestling camps. He's kind of a hippie. He doesn't wear shoes. He just has like that hair. He does things his way. He said like last night on Twitter, I was retweeting him because it was funny. He like his whole Twitter people was like, I would kick Kendrick's ass. I beat Rory McDonald in one round. I would beat Condit pretty easily. I mean, he just says whatever the hell he wants, and everyone gets mad at him. Like all these Twitter, fuck you, Askren. You suck. Like, you're boring. Like, he enjoys pissing everybody off. And then people were
He's
getting
a great
mad.
Heel.
People were getting mad at me. Like, stop retweeting him. I'm like, no, dude. This guy makes me laugh. I mean, this, you know, Devin Sawa, like the actor, this like big actor,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Huge actor, was like, I'm going to quit Twitter if you keep retweeting.
Stop tweeting him.
Yeah.
Dude, it's amazing. I really think that's a big missed opportunity for me in the UFC. I don't know why they didn't take Askren. I would have loved to see Askren. I don't think he's boring. Like, I want to see that guy compete.
And he's so funny. He's such a clown. Like, he just does things to piss people off.
I don't think they
hate him because they let him corner Pettis.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't like him, they would, like, with Randy, you're not allowed in the building, you know?
But why not just pick him up? I mean, I don't understand it. There's like a golden opportunity being missed here.
I think he just pissed off Dana. He called him a fat, bald guy. You know, that's not a good way to call your boss. Like, like
independent contractor.
Independent contractor.
There's a suit going on.
Right. I mean, you're a lawyer, forgot. but yeah, I mean, I just think but Lorenzo likes him. Joe Silva likes him. The Fajita brothers like him. I think Dana is entertained by him, you know?
Dude, it's
weird. It's weird.
It's such a great thing. He would be so great. Like, they're missing, like, a whole different character.
Yeah, plus, like, if they really didn't like him, they would match him up with Hector Lombard.
Or
just a big puncher. And they would say, okay, let's see how you do.
Well, they do that with a lot of guys that come in, like, especially from different organizations. They're like, oh, we can give you...
Oh, yeah.
They give him a few, like, 3 to 5 fights right off the bat that are, like, supposed to, you know, really...
Even Eddie Alvarez. They put him against...
Horrible fights right off the bat, yeah.
They put him against Cerrone, and then they put him against Gilbert.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, those are not... Welcome to the UFC. Donald Cerrone.
Let's build you up. But, you know, and in fairness to them with that one, like, Eddie Alvarez was established. Like, that guy was established. You know, he's the man. I think Askren comes in, you can't give him anything other than... It's got to be top 10, but more than likely, they're going to give him, like, number 5.
You know? They'll put him like a Jake Ellenberger. They'll give him, like... Yeah, I mean, they'll put him up against... Think about Askren is that he's a wild card. I mean, he could... I mean, he keeps calling out... There's a high school match between him and Hendricks... Wrestling match.
Oh, that's right. Well, they had like
a... It was a great match. It was like Hendricks won.
Right.
By 1 point or something, but it was a great match. Ben could... I think, but not based on his last performance, but Ben, that was just a bad matchup. And I think that Ben wins that fight in the rematch. And he wins that fight in that time if he had the eye poke. The guy was kind of looking for a way out, I believe. But Ben could beat these guys. I mean, Robbie Lawler, Askren could essentially be the guy to just out-wrestle Robbie Lawler. He's not knocking Robbie Lawler out.
No.
And, you know, he's not really hurting Robbie Lawler. But, he's just a hard guy to fight.
Well, stylistically, that's always the question. How are they going to match up, against each other? That's the thing. Like, you would see so many fights. I mean, even take the Hendricks GSP fight, for example. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, especially Dana, like, GSP lost that fight. GSP lost that fight. But I don't know. Like, I look at it and it's like, where do you get the first round basically is, almost how you're going to score that fight. You know what I mean? And I have no problem with giving GSP that first round. I really don't. So him winning, I was like, that's fine. And they're like, oh, but look at the damage. But then you look at, Hendricks' next fight where he beats Robbie Lawler technically, and you're like, okay, well, that was the same fight in reverse.
Yeah, and a lot of it is like, the problem with scoring rounds is that one guy wins a round really big, almost a 10-8 round, which they never give 10-8, but a guy dominates a round, and the other guy barely wins a round. And the guy who barely wins a round barely wins three rounds. The other guy kills you for two rounds. So you go, well, who wins the fight?
Yeah.
Well, technically, the guy who won, but if you go back to the old Pride rules, the guy who did more damage would have won. It's hard. It is tough. And a lot of these judges are just, I don't know what they're watching. I mean, you get some guys that turn into scorecards, the numbers don't even add up. Like, right. It was 26-23. But how does that make any sense? Like, they have numbers that don't even add up to how many rounds there were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to work within the framework that we're given now. Like, for better or for worse, like Zuffa and MMA and all that, we chose to, adopt the boxing score model. I don't know why, but they did. They're like, this is what we're doing. And now they're, trying to, I know they're giving seminars now, Big John McCarthy and stuff. It's, really, working with refs, to try to, kind of broaden their horizons. Hey, just because this guy is on his back doesn't necessarily mean he's losing. That sort of thing. But it's hard if you're going to give a 10-point must system. And, boxing is clear. You get knocked down, that was a 10-8. You get knocked down twice, that was, 10-7. But in MMA, it's like you have to almost get slaughtered for it to be a 10-8 round.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just no way to do it, I don't know. I think maybe they should do, some general thing, almost like a you would pick, how hot a girl is or something. Out of 10 points, how bad did he beat him this round? Was it close?
I mean,
was it 10-9 or was it,
I honestly don't know how to fix it. Even with gloves, I wish I had a solution to stop eye poking.
Yeah.
I wish I had a solution to better judging. I mean,
you want to do the Rogan thing? You don't want to just have them take the gloves off?
Oh, just bare knuckle?
Yeah, that's what Rogan wants.
Really?
I listen to five of his podcasts where he really is I'm for them taking the gloves off. You think it'd be safer?
I think you could break your hands much easier that way, though.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be hitting the way you're hitting. You know what I mean? The reason why you hit so incredibly hard is because they tape your hand. And then they reinforce that over with a glove, which they tape again. Even in boxing, your hand feels like a brick. Like picture yourself hitting a heavy bag. You wouldn't go in and throw a punch as hard as you can against a 100-pound heavy bag. You just wouldn't do it, not without a glove on. Now, if you taped your hand, you put a glove on, now you start really unloading. You start uncorking things that you couldn't normally do because your hand
would
break.
So you're saying the punches wouldn't be at a hard with bare knuckle?
I'm saying, back in the day in boxing, you used to have 100-round fights with no gloves. And, there probably wasn't as many handbreaks as there is now.
There'd be more eye pokes with no gloves, no?
Yeah, maybe eye pokes. Yeah, you'd have to do something else for eye pokes. I don't know what they'd do. Hmm. But maybe not, man. I don't know. I have no idea. We've never seen it in our age. You know what I mean? Was there a lot of eye pokes in UFC 1 to, 4 or whatever it was? I don't remember that many.
Huh. I think eye poking was legal back then.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. But yeah, I don't remember too much, but I do remember them, doing other things.
It's crazy though, when I watch some of these guys, I have them on my podcast, and back when I'll watch who was it? I was watching Coleman versus Gary Goodridge when headbutting was legal, and literally he's just on the ground, cocking his head back, which was insane. And then there was one where Goodridge was against the fence and didn't know what to do, so he scaled towards his corner to ask the corner what to do. And Coleman's behind him, throwing punches up, hitting him.
My sister saw the fight with Joson getting, punched in the balls. And ever since then, she's never watched, I don't think, MMA again. But she always, tells me, are they going to stop the ball punches? When's that going to happen? I was like, they don't do that,
I watched a Goodridge fight in Brazil where he literally removed the guy's cup and squeezed the guy's balls. And that's how he got the tap. And he was a professional arm wrestler, so he had some grip, you know? And I asked him about that on the show. He was like, you know, hey, man, they said no rules. No rules is no rules. He's like, I squeezed nuts. I wanted to make peanut butter.
Dude, that's no... That, like, messes with me just hearing it. You know, I don't... There's got to be some rules. There's got to be something
gotta
to
be
it,
Gotta be some
man.
Rules. Exactly.
Yeah. It's weird, like, you know, I was talking to Hedon, like, a few weeks ago on this show, and, you know, it's weird, you know, how the rules, you know... You know, he's like, you know, this MMA is not for jiu-jitsu anymore. You know what I mean? It's just, that's not, we can't work within this framework. You know what I mean? Like, it's still used, like, the techniques are used, but as far as, like, being a jiu-jitsu practitioner and then trying to implement your game in a fight, you know, this is no good. It doesn't work anymore. And, you know, a lot of people on the other flip side have said, you know, the unified rules have kind of favored wrestling because, you know, they're taking away the kicks on the ground, no knees on the ground, you know, so you're kind of, they're allowed to take a shot, you know, basically with no repercussion, you know, besides maybe taking a punch to the top of the head.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think? You think that MMA is kind of now geared towards wrestling? Are they skew
it that
way? I
don't really know that much about jiu-jitsu, like to the level of Hedon Gracie to really make that argument. You know, I do think if a guy's on top and landing strikes, he should, you know, I think submission attempts are great, but unless you're pulling off a submission, I'm not really sure you should get a point for attempts, you know? Yeah. But I have seen fights, I think like it was a Miguel Torres fight where he was doing a lot of damage from the bottom and didn't get credit for it, you know? So, yeah, I think knees, I like watching ONE FC because they have soccer kicks, even though that's insane, but you're able to knee a down opponent. I don't see why you can't knee a down opponent. I think guys are taking advantage of it now with the one hand on the ground, which I don't blame them for doing that, but that's sort of... Is it real fighting if you're just kind of like 12-6 elbows are dumb? I understand hitting to the back of the head being illegal because you can kill someone that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say a majority of the rules are great, you know? And I think it should be more sport than savage.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that was the opposite argument was I was talking to Joe Henley, and he's thinking, you know, the way to make scoring easier, the way to make jiu-jitsu more fun, even in MMA, he was saying shorten the rounds and make more rounds, like boxing. He was actually saying, and that was something weird because I never heard that from a jiu-jitsu guy before. Usually jiu-jitsu guys are like, I want like a 10-minute first round. You know, like I want like the pride thing. I want to be able, if I get somebody down, to go ahead and like slowly work my game, let him fall into something. And Joe's just like, fuck that, dude. Like make them work. Like make it, you know, happen. He's like, that way you'll actually get like, you know, definitive rounds. You know what I mean? You'll have like a definitive winner over a period of time and people will be forced to be more aggressive. Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like something that could work.
I don't think you need any more of a rounds. I mean, the one thing that I think we have over boxing is that you take a lot less damage because you don't have the three standing eight counts. You don't have 12 rounds. You don't have, you know, you have three rounds. You know, you don't, if once a guy's hurt, it's done. Bang. I think more rounds is more brain damage.
Yeah.
And I think that you want to stop that.
You have more ways to defend yourself, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you watch fights like that fight last week with Joanna Jędrzejczyk against Jessica Penny. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was almost like a murder. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
And that was to the point where you're like, stop this fight. What are they doing? I mean, there's so many fights now where I'm like, Mark Hunt versus Stipe Miocic.
Oh, my God. That was the worst I've probably seen in like, at least a few years.
I understand that Mark Hunt has one-punch power, and he's come back, but what are you doing? Like, when the guy on top is looking at the ref going, why are you not stopping the fight? Mm-hmm. The guy on top, stop the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many times that I think there's just unnecessary brain damage, especially for a guy like Mark Hunt. And you look at his, you know, his fights against, you know, Ray Cepho, and I mean, some of the wars that guy's been in, the Junior Dos Santos. But I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean this guy's going to end up, I mean, eventually, not him, but a fight, hopefully not him, but a fighter is going to lose his mind and pull a Chris Benoit or something insane.
Yeah.
And they're gonna trace it back to brain damage. And they're going to trace that back to these fights.
Yeah.
And I understand that most of the brain damage is caused in practice or most of the tough blows are from sparring and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But you don't need to be, there's no reason to let some of these fights go the way they do.
It's inevitable. I think, you know, what you're saying, your fears, you know, they're justified. And I honestly think what's sad is that it is inevitable. You know what I mean? A lot of times, you know, especially early on in the sport, we kind of like, you know, Dana and other people have been able to get away with the fact of being like, listen, man, you know, we haven't had any deaths in the UFC. There's no like signs of visible brain damage. But he was saying that like very early, you know, he was saying that in 05, 06 when, you know, MMA was really starting to gain ground. But I'm like, give it some time, you know, give it 10, 15. A concussion is a concussion. You know what I mean? I don't care if you got it by getting punched in the face or if somebody head kicks you. Like, you are concussed. And, you know, you can't, I mean, I know you can say, hey, you know, the commission can be 60 days no contact, 30 days no contact. That guy goes home, you don't know what he's doing. Right. You know, you have no idea what he's doing, how early he's going to train, how many, you know what I mean? And that might not technically be enough time. You know?
And then these organizations have to stop letting some of these guys fight. Like, I understand, like, getting Jens Pulver to fight in your organization will bring eyeballs to it. Yeah. But, you know, the Jens Pulvers, the Ken Shamrocks, the Kimbo, I mean, some of these older guys that have just taken too many punches, in my opinion. I know you don't want to, you know, say that, but these guys like, oh, you know, the Matt Hughes, I'm willing to come back. If the, I mean, Royce Gracie last week said, I'll come back and fight. I come on, what are we trying? What are we doing here? I mean, if you're going to make a seniors league,
make a legends division or
if
something.
If you're going to make that and all the fights are going to be Ken Shamrock versus Kimbo, fine. You want to make Mark Coleman versus Don Fry right now?
You'll watch it.
I'll watch it. Yeah. I'll watch Tank Abbott versus, you know, Ivan, whatever. But you don't want to, but stop putting them against these young guys don't put, you know, Hector Lombard against you know whoever some of these guys are, and it's just I understand these guys need money and yada yada, and these, you know, Native American reservations are willing to put on some of these fights, but it's not right in my opinion to do that.
What do you think about what Coker's doing now? Did you hear about the next big event for September?
The four.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think that's fine. I think that's, you know.
Dude, I'm excited for that.
Which one? The one that I don't like the Glory.
You don't like the Schilling versus Paul Daly?
I don't like how they're doing Glory kickboxing and MMA in one event.
Okay.
They're combining the events.
Yeah, I know.
And I understand.
Is it just that one fight? I think it's just that one fight.
Just
though,
that
right?
one fight? I don't know. Personally, like, I like watching kickboxing, but if I want to watch kickboxing, I'll watch kickboxing.
So I suppose they're going to do it in the cage?
I know they're combining the event.
So it's got to be, right?
Yeah. And I just find it, like, if I want to watch kickboxing, MMA. I mean, what's next? You're going to have a collegiate wrestling match in there, and then they're going to have a judo thing, and they're going to, you know, eventually it's too much.
Yeah.
They have a boxing match. It's just, to me, I understand why he's doing it, and I think Glory ratings are down. They're really down.
He's helping him out.
Well, he's probably like, yeah, he's maybe he's thinking if more eyeballs are on Glory during the event, that people are going to then go watch the next Glory events. And, you know, sure. Joe Schilling is always going to be a very exciting fighter. Paul Daly is
a
beast.
And he is too, yeah.
It's going to be a great fight. At the same time, I just think that it's kind of becomes a circus. It's one of those things on paper, you're like, oh, I'm excited. And then when I think you see it, it's like when, you know, Affliction had Anthrax do a concert.
That's right. Oh, my God, I totally forgot about that.
Like, on paper, you're like, oh, Anthrax is performing? Oh, that's great. Yeah, why not, you know? But then you're like, it was terrible. It was like, if I want to watch, go to an Anthrax concert. And it's a little, I'm making a couple leaps here. But as far as the four-man, one thing, I think it's going to be great because, although I think it's going to end up King Mo versus Phil Davis in the finals, I'd be surprised. And that's going to be a wrestling match.
Yeah.
But I think Phil Davis wins that.
You think so?
I do.
Huh. I don't know. I'm kind of leaning the other way. I think it's what I'm finding weird is, though, is like, I know he got that approved probably by saying they're not going to fight more than 25 minutes because it's in California. It's in San Jose.
Right.
So their first matchups are two rounds. And then for the championship or whatever to win the tournament will be three rounds.
Oh, that's stupid.
But what happens if they go 1-1 the first round?
Yeah, this is probably an overtime.
How can they do that, though? Because then they're going to go over 25 minutes of fight time. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know. That is a weird thing. But I think two rounds doesn't make a good MMA fight.
Yeah.
There's a reason, you know, it's 3 and 5. And they're odd numbers, not even.
Yeah, I would suppose they probably wanted Rampage for that originally, too, huh?
Yeah, Rampage would be great in that, especially for a 2-round fight, you know?
Yeah.
I think Rampage would probably be the king of the 2-round fights. It seems to be the 3rd round is when he seems to lose his team. A 1-round fight, especially.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, like you're saying, old fighters fighting young fighters again, and then they're giving Tito the title shot.
Yeah, you know, as much as, like, I think that it's a bad idea, Tito's been looking pretty good. I mean, they've carefully matched him up with Shlemenko, who he outweighed by 40 pounds.
And then you got Bonner.
And then Bonner, who I think he did, like, 1 day on the treadmill to prepare for that fight. I don't see Tito winning that fight.
Yeah, it seems like this might be
that
his
kid
last
looks really
fight.
Good.
He does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
he's
got a great team at AKA. He's undefeated. He seems pretty cocky. He's got the good attitude. I like Tito. I just feel like Tito's a little slow.
Well, Noom's on a great run there, you know, before he came along. You know what I mean? If you beat King Mo twice, you know,
that's
about as good as it's going to get, especially when King Mo can go up to heavyweight and beat Congo. You know, it's insane. Yeah, that's what I was thinking with the Phil Davis fight that you were saying. I don't know. I think, you know, King Mo will neutralize him, obviously, the wrestling, and then he hits harder than Phil. That's where I see him getting the advantage. His boxing's probably a little bit better. But you never know. Stylistically, that's the other thing. You just kind of work it out, you know?
Well, Davis has a tough time against black people, too. You look at most of the 2 out of 3 losses were against Anthony Johnson and against Rashad Evans.
Yeah.
So, I thought he beat Bader.
You got to factor that in, right?
He doesn't do well against the brothers. He's like the anti-Kim Kardashian.
So, there you go.
Who loves the brothers.
So. Yeah, man. It's been crazy. Dude, I'm kind of happy, though, that Bellator is kind of doing the freak show stuff every now and then. I shouldn't even say freak show. I mean, this is like, it's a spectacle. It's a circus. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do, though? If you're a promotion right now, the UFC is almost MMA entirely. You know what I mean?
They got lucky with the Reebok deal, Bellator, because they're now attracting people that could, like, sponsors. There's so many fighters out there who are not happy or losing money. They're guys with really good managements who are able to secure them, you know, Chico's Bail Bonds and this one and that one and Dude Wipes and, you know, Condom Depot and these other stuff. They were paying them good money.
Yeah.
Now they're not, you know. So Bellator is like, hey, come over here. And then you have the whole Spike thing. Then you have these funny intros, you know, where they're like fire and people dancing and stuff like that. But I think that is what is going to attract people. I think when you have things like...
You think the entrances or the Condom Depot sponsors?
I think the sponsors and the entrances and the Spike is what's going to attract people. I think that when you have, you know, Ken Shamrock, Kimbo on the card... It devalues it.
But it did great, though.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's also when you had Tito versus the guy in the mask. you know, Tito versus Bonner, and what's his name comes out with a mask.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that. Like, there wasn't, like, an explanation of why that guy's in the GIMP mask, and then he takes it off, and he's like, I used to train with you.
Yeah.
You owe
me money from the club. But I think that kind of shit is, like, it's like, one step, I understand, like, you got to take risks and stuff, but...
Does that make comedy easier in this field, though?
Oh, yeah, because you're watching it going...
It's like, insane, right?
What are you guys doing?
It's pretty embarrassing. Like, MMA for a long time, like, you know, even me as an attorney, is not, like, something you can say, hey, I also, like, work in the MMA field, you know what I mean? It gets rough. I mean, at least comedy, they almost think that you're doing it on purpose, right?
Well, it's funny. I mean, it's great for me because, you, like, especially with those text chats, because I would have a guy in the mask come out. I mean, it was just so. I mean, you're watching it, laughing, not laughing with the situation, you're laughing at.
At it.
Like with Conor McGregor, you're laughing with him. With Chael, you were laughing with him. With certain people, you're laughing with him.
I just
other stuff. You're laughing at it. You know, you're laughing at the Justin McCulley in a mask with Tito. You know, you're laughing at Ken Shamrock and Kimbo, which might be a fix. You know, that kind of shit you're laughing at. You're laughing at Yoel Romero, you know, not getting off his stool to start the round or him shitting himself in the fight before that. Or, you know, you're laughing at the guy with a boner. I forgot the guy's name who had a boner during the weigh-ins. Or, you know, like that kind of stuff is just funny.
MMA has provided... so many of these things that other sports don't do. I mean, you would never get, like, Pete Sampras, you know, managing a tennis player and then making a press conference where you just can't even get out a sentence. You know what I mean?
Oh, but, yeah. Well, you never get Dana White, the president of the company, calling people eggs on Twitter and like I'm like and like clown shoes, like, or like he would say things like he would look at the guy's picture and be like, clean your bathroom. I mean, you would never have Roger Goodell like arguing with football fans on Twitter. And that's what Mike Goldberg, remember? Mike Goldberg went to the NFL.
He got in trouble for that.
He got fired. Yeah. He was like, go fuck yourself. I love my life. Hashtag living the dream. And they were like,
put on a headset, fucker.
They were like, get this guy out of here. But in MMA, that's totally cool. I mean, that's what I love about the sport. I mean, I love that like, a part of it's funny, but a part of it's like, you love the fact that it's like, it's really like, take no prisoners. And like the head of the company is willing to put himself on, like, he's tweeting out, relax, guys. You know, like,
exactly.
That's fucking great. I like love that.
Dude, when Goldberg had that situation, I was wondering if the NFL fans were really that hard on him, or if it was just like the MMA fans like really sticking it to him.
Well, the MMA fans were not cool what they did to him. I mean,
do you think it was mostly MMA?
Well, a lot of it was like some of the bloody elbow guys. Like, they made like a montage of like his biggest gaffes. Like, it was his first time. He could have made a lot of money. He had been doing it in Arizona. He was the college play-by-play guy in Arizona where he lives. He was actually doing pretty well. I mean, it's hard to step into that thing. And all of a sudden, people are writing articles saying how much he sucks.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me, that wasn't cool because it was his first day. But then he could have just, you know, not said anything.
Right.
Shut his mouth, went back the next week, and then he wouldn't have been as bad.
You would have done great, yeah.
You know, but instead, he goes, go fuck yourself. And then people are like, I think the NFL are like, listen, we're sponsored by Wheaties here. We're sponsored by General Motors. You can't have this guy telling people to go fuck themselves. And he gets fired. And he's like, I'm going to sit this week out. Yeah, sure you are.
Like, yeah.
You kind of felt bad for the guy. You know, he failed publicly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but learning experience, and we get to have him back in our own little community. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, man. I mean, yeah, I guess.
He was almost out. We pulled him right back in.
It was messed up how fucked up the fans were to him. And I don't do that. Like, even though I MMA roasted, I made a couple jokes after the fact because I had to. After he had already gotten fired and stuff. It's like, but I try not to make jokes about people after they lose, after they get knocked out or stuff like that, because the times that I've gotten people really upset with me were like I were making jokes like that. And also because you try not to kick people when they're down. Unfortunately, it's like funnier that way.
Well, Adam, we're about out of time. Tell me, where are you going to be? What do you got coming up?
In Vegas, I will be at the V Theater in Planet Hollywood on International Fight Week. I'll be there on Wednesday night and Thursday night. If you go to my Twitter feed, which is at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian, you can buy tickets. If you put the promo code MMA, it's $15 to get in. I will also be at in Naples in June at Off the Hook Comedy Club. And if you go to AdamHunter.com, you can see my whole schedule. I got this movie called Pinned. It's an Indiegogo. It's at AdamHunter.com. Please donate money for that. And you can listen to my podcast, MMA Roasted Podcast, which starting next week will be on the Sideshow Network.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So everyone, please, 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 please support Pinned. That is a really great project coming up. I think that we could really get behind that and help them make that happen, because we need more films like that. That's exactly what we need right now. And please go check out Adam at all the spots. Adam Hunter, the young, good-looking, talented comedian. High school wrestling phenom in the state of New England. You know, you don't get much better than that.
Thank you.
Dude, I'm trying to make it bigger.
Oh,
you got to make it as big as it possibly be. You know what I mean?
Yes, thank you.
All right, we'll check them out, and we will see you next week on The Drum Technique. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Drum Technique.
You ready?
Drum Technique. Drum Technique.
Listen.